Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Welcome, Interisti, to episode 137 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of the first leg of the Champions League quarterfinal at the Allianz Arena between Bayern Munich and Inter, which finished 2-1 to the visitors. Goals from Lautaro Martinez with a beautiful Trivella finish in the 38th minute. Thomas Müller gets subbed on, not his first time scoring against Inter, in the 85th minute. And then it seems like we were going to try to hold on to the end, but no, a beautiful, well-worked piece of play leads to Davide Fratesi in the 88th minute, scoring the winner a day or maybe 2 days after the passing of his nonna, which made for a beautiful, beautiful moment. And Inter takes the first leg away from home against Bayern Munich in their quarterfinals. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianni Paterno. Gianni, I watched this game in a bar full of Bayern Munich fans. They were not happy with my celebrations after the Davide Fratesi goal, but who cares? Because Inter are the kind of team that can throw away a two-goal lead against Parma and a few days later beat Bayern Munich, the first game that they've lost in Europe at home in nearly 4 years. It's a good result to take home to the second leg. How are you feeling after what was genuinely a night to remember for Interisti?
Feeling thrilled. I was watching the game at work and the moment the Lautaro Trivella happens, I shout pretty loudly. Everyone in the office kind of recognized that Inter had taken the lead. And, then there was a bit of disappointment in allowing the equalizer. I was honestly okay with a draw away. I was like, hey, at least draw. That's we can do that. And then I was getting frustrated because Sommer was just hanging onto the ball. They weren't looking to push for the win. And then moment of brilliance and an incredible pass really from Barella to unlock it with Carlos Augusto on the wing, and leads to a wonderful goal, which I tweeted that's pretty much what Fratesi is best at, really, or only really thing he's good at is scoring those late goals. And that's exactly what he did. Or not leaving the late goals, just making those runs into the box and getting those goals. So a huge 2-1 win. Thrilled to be coming back to the San Siro with the lead. And I think that that does bode well for us. And, we'll get into some more details here. But, yeah, I'm pretty excited.
What did you think today was going to look like? Because I think, I had put it in one of the Twitter group chats that I thought the energy on Inter Twitter was a little weird coming into this one. You have, some folks saying, I hope Bayern kills us so that we can focus on the Scudetto, which I think is a strange take to have. You're already competing in three competitions in April. Like, I don't think we should start talking about throwing away competitions. I think we should start talking about winning them. But regardless, there was a weird vibe from Inter Twitter coming into this game where I think despite the fact that Bayern was missing several key players, namely Alphonso Davies out for the year, Musiala definitely not going to be recovered in time for the second leg, there just seemed to be a sentiment that it still was going to look very pro-Bayern and that Inter would have to hang along here. Is that the feeling that you had coming into this game as well?
No, I did not, honestly. Like, I thought that I think we were very fortunate for the injuries that they do have. I think that made me feel more confident in what we would be able to bring into this match and that we would be able to get a result. No Musiala, who I think is kind of the heartbeat of their attack, I think is very big. Yes, Kane may get the goals, and we saw that he was getting himself in dangerous positions, but there wasn't that Musiala to try to draw defenders away and give him more freedom and space and to be able to get those pockets and be able to score. And, you know, Davies could have wreaked havoc on Matteo Darmian had he been there. So very thankful that, I mean, not thankful that he's hurt, but I am happy that he was not a part of this match. You know, I would never wish injury on anyone. Let me make that clear. That's not how I work or move. But yeah, I think that it was huge for us to be able to come out and have the right attitude. I think we went about it in the right way as well. I wouldn't say we were allowing them to press us deep. I think we were just kind of more feeling our way into the match. And maybe after the first 15, 20 minutes was when we really started to see us starting to move and make some good passing, have some opportunities, you know, that we were creating. And yeah, I think Inzaghi went about it the right way. I mean, you know, for the things I do get frustrated with, he does do some things that I'm truly impressed with. And he showed why he's, you know, a more superior manager to Vincent Kompany.
Yeah, we went like tit for tat with them in that first half. Like you said, it, you know, first 15, 20 minutes were looking a little sketchy, a little worrisome for Interisti that may have thought that this is going to end up being a game where that looked a lot like the Arsenal game earlier in the Champions League this year. But that wasn't the case. Like, again, like you said, we grew into the game. And in that first half, it was 51-49 in possession in favor of Inter. Passes 280 for Inter, 266 for Bayern. So, you know, that first half was a really good showing for folks that may have felt that we were going to get played off the pitch. That's not the case. And the reality of the situation with Musiala and Davies being absent on the other side, you can't discount what this might have looked like if Dumfries and Di Marco were on the pitch. The wingbacks are a huge part of what Inter do. And for us to be able to play the way that we played and work ourselves up the pitch without those two key components that stretch opponents' defenses, it was perfect, a perfect first half. Where, you know, their biggest chance was obviously the Kane post, which was, you know, it came off of, was it Pavard that played the ball into the box? Pavard. I forget. Yeah, who didn't make the right decision there. May have got himself a little caught up, but we get away with that one. And then we end up going in front over with a beautiful action. Again, you know, the ball comes across from Carlos Augusto, a perfect touch from Thuram, and Lautaro with that finish. Lautaro has now scored in the Champions League at Liverpool, at Barcelona, at Munich. Let me pull it up here because I want to make sure I get these correct. At Munich, at Liverpool, at Barcelona, at Madrid, and at Dortmund. So, and he's the highest goal scorer in Champions League history for Inter. So anyone that wants to start a narrative that Lautaro is not a big game player or is not made for these moments is clearly incorrect. Second half was different, right? There was that thing that we've been doing this year where we sit back, and obviously it didn't help us. Biggest reason for you why we ended up conceding the 1-1 in the 85th minute to Mueller?
I think it's a combination of things, really. I think that we were more so just trying to hang on for the win. We weren't really pushing to take advantage of any opportunities. You know, they were going to be vulnerable at the back, which we saw when we did get the second goal that, you know, like had we just continued to play our game, who knows what could have happened. It could have been a 3-1 win for all we know, you know, and I think that just caused a little bit of miscommunication in the back line. You know, Acerbi followed Gnabry more centrally, and that allowed Muller to kind of drift a little further away on that back post. I don't know what Bastoni was doing. It was actually one of the rare mistakes that he's made probably all season, you know, allowing that man to...
And then Acerbi not
communicating. But I can't really fault Acerbi so much only because he followed the man. It's not like he left people wide open. He followed Serge, so... You know, you would think Bastoni would recognize that. I don't know why he was further up on the 18, I think, when he drifted into the space and was a little late there. But, you know, an unfortunate thing that hopefully we're able to iron out before the second matchup. I think that our back line did play strong for, I'd say, let's say 98% of it. You know, the only two things that really stood out that were poor was Pavard playing the ball into the box that allowed Kane to get the shot off and, you know, losing your man. So if you can get away with only making two mistakes against a squad like Bayern, I think that's a very good sign for you going forward. So I'm definitely optimistic going into the next leg, and you know, I'm not going to be too upset with the guys. Disappointed in some aspects, but I'm not going to be like, it's not going to change how I view Acerbi and Bastoni this season.
Pretty nervous for you seeing Bisek and Fratesi and Zalewski, to be honest, realistically, if you look at our bench tonight, the only other people that could have played were De Vrij and Arnautovic, or else you were going to the kids. And in the post-match, Inzaghi said that DiMarco, they wanted to give him 20 minutes, but then decided that he wasn't going to play at all. So those three were really the only subs you could have made. But I know what I was feeling when I was less nervous about Fratesi and Zalewski. Honestly, I was most nervous about Bisek, because in those moments, you need a strong defender with personality, and Bisek hasn't been that for a little bit of time. So what was your feelings for those substitutions, your read on how that was going to affect the game?
I wasn't, when I saw them warming up and getting ready to come on, I wasn't very happy with both Bisek and Fratesi. I thought that would be, you know, some holes on the pitch and some opportunities for Bayern to score. Obviously, they did score with those guys on the pitch. I wouldn't say it's a direct result of them coming on. And, you know, I just didn't expect Fratesi to really offer much. I'm going to be a little compassionate, because if my Nona passed, you know, I would probably be a wreck. I wouldn't be the same person, same anything, really. It doesn't matter what aspect of my life I'm in, whether it's playing, whether it's working, whatever it is. So I'm going to give him, you know, a little bit of grace with that and kind of be understanding to that. But his strengths aren't his dribbling. It isn't really his hold-up play. It isn't his distribution. Like, his strength is what he did tonight, which is getting in on late runs in the box and scoring goals. So I didn't see how, if you were trying to just protect the lead, how he was going to be any help, really. I just wasn't sure where it was going to come from, what was going to happen there. And with Bisek, I mean, yeah, the guy's been a ghost, really, of who he was earlier in the season. Losing his man, not being defensively aware. I think that's signs of an immature defender. Now, most people say you don't really become a mature defender and really have a great grasp of your, you know, defensive abilities and really having tactical awareness until you're about like 28, 29 years old. You know, that's when most defenders like start really reaching their prime. So he's probably got a few years to go before he can get to that level and hopefully iron out these little details that need to be fixed in his game. But you know what, like, aside from one time where he pushed probably too far up the pitch for my liking, I thought that he played pretty well, pretty sound himself. So I'm not going to look for any negative things to say, really, for these guys. I think that they kind of played better than even I expected. So I'm happy for that.
Yeah, I agree. And also, if you look at tactically what happens when Fratesi came on the pitch, he comes in for Mkhitaryan, who's in that left center Metsala position. Barella and Fratesi now switch. Barella becomes the left center mid. That action to score the 2-1 comes from Barella being in that left mezzala to play the perfect, you know, connect with Lautaro and play the perfect touch onto a streaking Carlos Augusto, and Fratesi making the run from deep from that right mezzala position to get into the box and to score the goal. So tactically, it worked out as perfect as it's ever looked with this combination on the pitch. And that was amazing to see. In the post-match on Sky Sport, Boban and Beppe Bergomi were talking about how this was the best game that the forwards, Lautaro and Thuram, have ever played together. Now, I think that they've linked up better in most matches, but they were mostly taking into account the defensive work and the, you know, positioning that they did. And the only chances that they got to link up, they linked up super effectively, obviously for the first goal. And then for the rest of the match, just, you know, being able to sort of close down the passing lanes. What did you think of the forwards tonight? Thuram getting an assist, Lautaro getting a goal.
I don't know if I would go as far to say that this was the best game that they played. I get that they did do some great things defensively. I think Lautaro was all over the pitch, which was you want to see from your captain, right? Like, I mean, even though he's a forward, that's not really his responsibility, not something that he has to really concern himself with. I was very pleased with his work right there, and I think that he, you know, he played fantastically. Both of them, I mean, you might be able to make a case that this is their best game that they've played together this season. You know, the assist that Thuram lays off, listen, the goal, we all know how fantastic and how difficult that is. But to have the spatial awareness that Thuram has, doesn't make a look back. He just knows that Lauti's going to be making a run in behind him there, and to just lay it off perfectly in a spot where his player can get to it and do something truly, you know, magical is awesome. I love the way both of them played. I hope these guys do stay here for many years to come, because they just play so well together and are just so influential and have such great chemistry that you have to, you know, hopefully be able to hang on to both of them, right? So awesome match from Lauti, of course, and Thuram. I hope that we can do it again on the next game.
Better finish, Lautaro, tonight with a Trivella, which was just a gorgeous, gorgeous goal, or the one-time strike into the back of the net against Liverpool a few seasons ago. He said that he wanted to hit this one with his left foot, but saw that there was a wall ahead of him and that he had to just one-time it with the outside of his right. That calculation is happening very fast.
Bro, like, I mean,
very fast.
This one's probably my favorite between the two, if I had to pick. I think the degree of difficulty is higher in this one. You know, to get that type of pace and that curl with the outside of your boot and place it perfectly in the top corner where no keeper's going to get to that one. Nobody. Not Donnarumma, not Courtois, nobody. Don't pick anyone you want. It's going in every time. So, yeah, I'm going to say it's this one for sure. Yeah, no hesitation, no question. Yeah.
Barella with what I thought was the man of the match performance. The UEFA committee gave it to Bastoni, but I thought Barella was perfect for a few different reasons. Obviously, you know, the touch, the pass out to Carlos Augusto. Watch, please, I implore you to go watch that back on replay and understand there are 99 ways to fuck that pass up. Whether it's just a little bit too strong, whether it's not strong enough, it was perfectly lifted into Carlos Augusto's path. So just stellar quality from a midfielder that is criminally underrated on the international stage. But also just the play out from the back and how calm he was, you know, with the ball at his feet, very close to his goal, getting pressed. I thought it was a huge part of Inter's success tonight, being able to not panic, essentially, as they came under heavy pressure and for him to be able to play out. But it has been hot and cold this season. Where would you rank this performance for this year so far?
I mean, definitely up at the top. I think that in my opinion, he was the man of the match. I think he did so many things well today. I thought that he was a bit of a, almost like a Toni Kroos type of performance, where very metronomic, you know, a lot of subtleties in his game that you wouldn't really notice unless you love the game and play the game. I thought that he had fantastic control in the defensive end, and it did really good job of escaping pressure and finding his teammates in space to be able to start counterattacks. I mean, he had a ball in the first half that was played had to be a 60-yard pass, like across the field to Carlos Augusto. It literally just went right over the head of, it might have been Leon Goretzka. I don't remember now who it was.
I think exactly, Leimer.
It could have been Conrad Leimer. Yeah, I mean, but just perfectly played. Barella, I part of me is upset that he doesn't get the recognition in the world that he should get. And then part of me is like, well, thank goodness, because, you know, clubs like Real Madrid, Manchester City, Chelsea, whoever else that, you know, wants to just throw money around at their problems would probably try to get, you know, Nico to come to them. And
they have.
I mean, they have, but like not really, like not. I mean, yeah, there's been rumors that they want to, but have they really made legit offers?
I think Saudi Arabia offered him like 35 mil a year.
Cool. I mean, it is what it is with that one. But, you know, yeah, he's just such an important piece. Him and Hakan, to me, are the two most important pieces to this 11. I there may be players that, you know, you could like more. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think in terms of importance, we see the drop off when those two guys are missing, right? When they're both on the pitch together and how things just kind of become chaotic in the midfield for us. So loved everything I saw from Nico today. I hope that we could just keep it going the rest of the year. There's only, what, 7 more games in the league, and you have, you know, potentially 3 more games to get you to the Champions League final. And I hope that we can go ahead and win every single one of them, because this team has loads of potential. And I look forward to seeing what, you know, what we can do this year with the talent and skills that we have, and Nico's just an integral part of that.
You mentioned Hakan. What did you make of his performance? I thought coming into the game he was going to have a huge game. You know, contextually, Bayern wanted him this past summer. He stays at Inter, wants to win a Champions League with Inter. I thought, you know, that would give him a little bit of an extra boost. You know, he was a little bit not precise on his shooting today. Had a couple opportunities in that first half to really test Erbig, the young understudy to Manuel Neuer. You know, wasn't really able to do so. Outside of that, was pretty safe as a passer. What'd you think of Hakan today as a regista? Another 90 minutes.
Another 90 minutes for a guy who just is so defensively solid that you have to just give credit where credit's due to Inzaghi to have turned him into the player that he is now. Like, I never would have thought that he could succeed Brozovic, and then you see the year he has with Brozovic dealing with nagging injuries and how he was able to step in and actually be better as a regista. Like, that fits his play style better than a Metzala does. It's insane. And yeah, I'm excited that we have him now. I mean, what happens in the summer, that's a different story. But I think that, you know, you see just how this team ticks with him out there and how he's able to move the ball a little bit faster. He's a little bit more crisp with his passing than Brozovic. I think he has a longer range. Not that I'm trying to knock Brozovic or anything here, because I love both players. But I do think that he has some things in his game that make him a better fit for Inzaghi's system. And you see with his pace, the way his head plays, Brozovic was very casual. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just think that he was very calm, sometimes too calm, where, you know, he would allow a pressure to come in and then, you know, kind of get shoved from behind, because he is a little, although he's tall and lanky, he is a lighter guy. Whereas Hakan is always looking in around him, seeing who's behind a front, and looking to see what's the best play to get this ball forward. Like, I think he recognizes something that my coach in high school used to preach, that the ball moves faster than you do. If you're able to play it out and find your teammates, it's going to get there faster than you can get there carrying it and trying to make, you know, something happen on your own. So I think it's incredible the way that he plays. And I thought even like just the way he was able to kind of counter Kimmich, which a lot of people were worried that he would have all this freedom and time to be able to pick out passes and crosses and stuff, which is kind of a strength of what Joshua Kimmich can do.
It really is.
And I thought that Hakan played it, you know, perfectly and was able to really just negate his strengths And, you know, I mean, hats off to him to you know, coming up for the challenge.
Yeah, he can put us, you know, on the transition from defense to attack better than, you know, any other person that I can imagine in that role would be able to do. A key piece of Inter moving forward is definitely going to be able to mitigate the drop-off that occurs when Hakan is not on the pitch. A strong second option there is definitely important for this team in the summer. Marotta, before the game, you know, spoke about what the strategy is going to be in the summer, and he basically said, like, we're investing, we're going to lower the wage bill, but through investments into young guys, which you and I have both been, we've been having this conversation sporadically throughout the season, where we desperately need to get, like, younger and more athletic so that when it comes to April next year, we're not, you know, relying on the legs of 30-year-olds and 36-year-olds to be able to drive us forward. As amazing as they've been, you know, we do need some other options as these players continue to get older. The other piece to this midfield, I thought we saw, you know, the best of both worlds from Mkhitaryan today. Really good in the first half, recycling the ball. You know, smart with the tactical fouls as well, like really, you know, able to sort of stifle a few Bayern Munich attacks that were coming at us. I thought in the second half, you know, he did get taken off for Fratesi in the 74th, but I thought in the second half he put us in danger with a few of his passes today, not being able to clear lines, like just not being smart with some of those passes. But ultimately, you know, he shows his value here. I don't think that there's anything that any of these guys that we can really get after in a negative light. But, you know, I'll give you some words here on what you thought about Henrik Mkhitaryan today.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, definitely played some dangerous passes, but when you look at what the alternatives are and what's available, I think now I really do understand why Inzaghi leans on him so much. You know, it used to be something that would bother me, but now he is the best option. Maybe if Zielinski's healthy, you know, you could make a case for him to be in there. I'm obviously a big fan of Zielinski, and I think that he is a much more complete player than Henrik in the attacking phase. Whereas Henrik, you know, he can do a little bit more of the grunt work and the dirty work on the defensive side. So it depends on really what you're trying to do, what your main focus is. I do think that both have their, you know, their positive qualities that are crucial to this team being successful. But, you know, I think for the most part, though, aside from the few mistakes that Henrik made, I thought that was a good game for him. And normally, you know, I'm a little more harsh with him, so.
Okay, on to the wingbacks, Darmian and Augusto, the two backups for Inter. It's you know, there's no way around it. Augusto with maybe his best performance of the season, a huge help to Bastoni in dealing with Michael Olise, who is, like, it has to be said, a really, really dangerous player, and a player that, you know, we're going to need to continue to keep an eye on here in the second leg. As much as Musiala has been the key to unlocking Bayern this season, Olise is, you know, right behind him. And Carlos did a huge job in helping Bastoni keep him quiet, not to mention you know, the pre-assist for the first goal and then the actual assist for the second goal, lung-busting run to end the game in the 88th minute. He's an immense player for us and has been when he's come in every single time this year. Damian, a bit of a tougher game coming up against Sané. Sané had his way with him a few times. There was some times where he was passed the ball and he sort of let it go out of the pitch, just not really, I don't know, I thought Darmian showed his age more so than, you know, pretty much anyone else of the older guys on the team. If we can't recover Dumfries for this second leg, obviously we saw that they're able to do it here, you know, in Munich, but this is also the kind of performance that really makes you miss Dumfries in there and understand that, you know, for as much as Dumfries is limited from a technical aspect, he's got a lot that Darmian just no longer is able to do. Honestly, in my opinion, Darmian's career you know, should be as a right center back backup. I don't think he's got it anymore to play the wing back role.
Let's start with Carlos Augusto. I mean, yeah, awesome performance. You know, this annoying account has kind of been going after me for something I said about his offensive game back in December.
I saw that.
Which is like, the guys just...
Guys, listen, we react to the games, like, every single game.
It wasn't even a reaction to the game. The guy said that DeMarco could tear his ACL and we wouldn't miss a beat with Carlos Augusto. And I said, that's insane. Like, that is such a trash take, because what DeMarco does off... I've said it here multiple times. Carlos Augusto is way better defensively. I'm not going to ever say otherwise. But if you think that Carlos Augusto or Augusto is going to do more for you offensively and offer more with his crossing and all that stuff than Federico DiMarco, you need to get your eyes checked. You really do. And this guy was just going at it with me for like, and he just kept bringing up the same. He's done this is the second time he's done that from December. I don't remember what day in December. We're now in April. Like, what are we talking about? But anyway, Augusto played fantastic. Like, it's not even to take anything away from him. Like I don't know what you're trying to prove. Like,
they're just different players.
Like, I've never said I dislike Carlos Augusto. I just said he's not the offensive player and never will be that Federico DiMarco is. That's all.
I mean, ask Inzaghi in a quiet moment who he would have rather been able to you know, put out there today.
And I mean, ask yourselves, like, if it, in that same play with DiMarco going down the wing or Carlos Augusto, who would you put money on to play a better ball in that situation? Ask yourself that question. Who do you honestly believe would play a better cross into the box there? I would say 99 out of 100 of you would say Federico DiMarco. And the one person who picks Carlos is either trolling or Brazilian. Plain and simple, in my opinion. I'm sorry.
And he's an amazing player. Like, why can't we appreciate both of them for what they do?
Again, this is not me knocking anything Carlos Augusto does. This is me responding to a troll on Twitter who's just a complete idiot. But anyway, I loved everything that he did. Like you said, I think that he did an amazing job back there with Bastoni to negate Michael Olise as much as they could. He did get free sometimes. Obviously, I mean, the guy's a talent. Like, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he's just a phenomenal dribbler, able to work well in tight spaces. So, I mean, hats off to those two for being able to contain him as well as they did. And, you know, I mean, the cross to Fratesi, fantastic. I mean, just a great ball. Head of hair gives you a whole new level of confidence, does it not, you know, Carlos? So, congrats to you for taking the plunge, going out to Turkey, you know, having a little siesta out there, you know, some kebabs and whatever else you may have been doing in your hotel. But all kidding aside, I mean, you're just – the guy's awesome. I wasn't hyped about the signing. I mean, we've been over this. You know, I wanted to hang on to Robin Gosens. And this guy's been an upgrade. You know, I didn't think he would be, but he's been just a great get. The fact that he has that tactical flexibility like a young Matteo Darmian did to be able to play that left center back role, fill in nicely there, be able to be so, you know, solid defensively himself as a wing back has been awesome. And it is great when, you know, when you go up against a team like Bayern Munich, who has all these attacking options and options on the wing, to have someone who has that strong ability to outmuscle his man, play the ball in the air, come in with a good challenge. Like, it's been great to see. With in regards to Matteo Darmian, yeah, not his best performance. Obviously, I'm sure that he has some regrets out there as well. But, you know, the guy is our Swiss Army knife. I can't really harp on him. You know, like we've said on here, age does catch up to everybody. I do think that, you know, he would be a better right center back, like you said. He just doesn't have the legs anymore, and he just doesn't have the ability to go forward and help out in the attack the way, you know, Dumfries does. And I never thought I would get to this a point where I would want to see Denzel Dumfries on the right flank more than I want to see Matteo Darmian. But here we are. And I hope that, I mean, I don't think he'll be back for the second leg, but hopefully if we're able to get through, he'll be there for the semifinals, because I think that'll be crucial for us, especially with the potential of going up against Barcelona in that, you know, that leg. So
if Dumfries is not able to make it back, should there be a conversation for Zalewski over Darmian in that second leg?
Oh man, why are you asking tough questions? Like, my brain is like fried
right now.
Like,
it's a tough question. It's a tough one, man.
Like, I don't. Let's hear what you would want to do. Maybe you could sway me in one direction.
If Dumfries is not able to make it back for that leg, I start Darmian because of the position that we're in. Like, if we need to get a goal later on in the game, bringing on Darmian is not the way to do so. So I start him there. But, you know, if it was if we're talking about a Serie A game, then yeah, maybe I want to see a little bit more of Zalewski on the right hand side over Darmian.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I mean, as much as I like what Zalewski can do in the attacking third, obviously we see what he can't do defensively, right? It's not the prettiest thing out there when he's having to track back and stuff. However, I do think that there is signs of improvement, but it's just not to where we need it. Right now, we are going to be defending a lead. So I would much rather start with Darmian. I think, yeah, like, I would agree with you there. And then, you know, potentially, if God forbid we need to chase a goal, you can have Zalewski going against tired legs, which could be beneficial for us in that regard. So, yeah, I think you got to stick with Matty Darms, a.k.a. the Swiss Army Knife, a.k.a. Captain Jack of all trades, whatever you want to call him. I mean, yeah, I think it's the way to go. And hopefully, you know, we won't need to hit the panic button and throw Zalewski out there.
We've spoken a lot about Acerbi pocketing some of the best forwards in Europe every time he goes up against them. Would you categorize his battle against Kane today as that? If he empties his pockets tonight, is Kane going to be in them?
I mean, Kane is definitely in there. You know, like, I mean, he's got every right to throw the phone on the nightstand, throw the keys, throw the wallet, and, you know, put his little Harry Kane right there too, because I don't know how the guy's able to roll back time and pocket these incredible strikers and to keep them scoreless, but he does it time and time again. Thankfully, he wasn't put in situations where guys were really dribbling at him and put him in tough situations like that, where he may have to make a late challenge. But I mean, another awesome performance from our boy there, or I guess our old man there, really, not really our boy.
Yeah. I definitely think he's had more dominant performances against some of the other strikers. But Kane also, he forces the issue by dropping deep to combine, which, you know, naturally would have to pull Acerbi out of his shell. So I do think, like, that's why it probably looked the way that it did. But nonetheless, like, did Kane get on the score sheet? No. So, you know, you have to give props to Acerbi there. Bastoni, you know, just really, really strong consideration game after game for him being the MVP MVP of Inter season.
Really?
Yeah.
Even with the blunder.
Even with the blunder, you know, dealing with Olise all game, but also in that first half, really facilitating the play, playing out of danger in the second half, you know, to really good effect. And you know, we can't. This has been Bastoni's best defensive season, right? Doesn't get his man on this one time, not going to kill him, but this was a great performance from a person who should not be in conversations with Pau Kubarsi for best ball playing defender in Europe. And then Pavard, really solid, except for a blunder also in the first half, that giveaway that led to the Olise shot, or across to the back post. I'm forgetting exactly what happened there. But I feel much better with him at the back than I do with Bisek. Even if it wasn't like his most dominant performance, I think Pavard was very good today. Jan Sommer. This is your avenue. I'm not even going to speak here.
I remember there was a few fans of Inter who criticized the signing of Jan Sommer. I'm not going to name names. I remember, well, one right off the top of my head, there was definitely at least two or three others that felt, you know, so upset and so strongly that this was such a massive downgrade from Andre Onana. And my goodness, do you owe this man like the highest of apologies? Because this guy does things like the saves that he was making and the rebound control. Again,
the rebound control.
I always go back to how important being able to control your rebounds and not spill balls into the box that allow, you know, other players to run in and poach goals. You know, maybe he had one that kind of spilled away from him, but again, it was a tough shot from Kane that was going to the bottom right. Really, Jan Sommer's left, and he had, you know, he got his palms to it and was able to recover nicely on there. But he had a few shots that were shot venomously into his chest, and he was able to catch them and you know, had some point blank opportunities. You know, I think the only one that I'm sure he wished he may have would have gotten a finger on was the one that went just wide by Kane that hit the post. But, you know, and you can't even fault him for the goal. That's just, you know, defenders losing their man and kind of leaving somebody free on there. He would have had to make the most insane reflex save to be able to stop, keep that one out. So, listen, I love Jan Sommer. It's going to be a rough day when he eventually leaves this club. And not that I don't think Jose Martinez is up for the task, but I think he's going to go down as one of the most underappreciated Inter goalkeepers of all time. And probably not going to get the credit that he definitely deserves while wearing these colors. I loved him at Borussia Mönchengladbach. I thought that he was great at his short time with Bayern Munich. And I am very thankful that we have a player of his caliber at our club who's making fantastic saves and bailing us out time and time again. I can't think of a game where he himself has cost us the game. He's had errors and not
knock on wood.
Oh boy, here, come on. Let's be honest.
Knock on wood.
Don't be that Nima fella with all these jinxes and stuff. The guy's been phenomenal, and you know he hasn't cost us anything. He's had blunders. He's had shots that I'm sure he wishes he could have back. I've seen a few that kind of went right through him or went in too easily. But I love the way this guy plays and how just calm things seem to be when he's back there. Not that it's chaotic even when Jose Martinez is out there. It's, again, I'm not saying this. There's someone who comments on our Spotify who thinks all we do is talk negatively. I'm not saying these things to come off negatively. I'm saying these things so that we just appreciate what we have. And I'm thankful for Jose Martinez too. But Jan Sommer deserves way more than he gets.
Yeah. Yeah, I really don't. I'm going to let the numbers speak for themselves here. I know everyone hates the numbers, but let's dive into them. Six saves, expected goal on target, which XG is measured by the quality of the chance. Expected goal on target is measured by the quality of the actual shot on target. It's not where the shot is taken and what the percentage is. It's the percentage of where the ball is shot. 1.84. So he prevented two goals today. Four saves inside the box, three punches, two high claims. So yeah, by the numbers, really good. Also, anyone that you guys talk negatively. I feel like we're pretty positive, all things considered.
I'll say you're more positive. I know I can be negative at times and I can be a little harsh at times, but I'm also a fan who's passionate about this club. You know, like, would you rather me be apathetic or kind of just be, you know, oh well, you know, like, that's what happens, it's footy, whatever. Like, I don't know.
But we talk about every single game, and we talk about what we saw for every single game. So over the course of, you know, 50 potential games in a season, and we're breaking down 90 minutes 50 times a year, like, I don't know, it's not always going to sound really awesome. And I don't think anyone really wants to listen to, you know, a discourse that's just so positive. Listen, like, I'm positive, but also, like, what do you want us to do? Like, we have to critique what we see as well, or else you're just listening to, like, a fluff podcast. And I think, you know, part of what we try to do here is keep it as real as possible. So anyway, just quick note on that. But let's turn it over to you. Questions from the Interviews listeners at Real SC Fitness. Hi, Interviews team. Great win. I have two questions for the pod. What is Zielinski's status? We're not going to see Zielinski for quite a bit of time, possibly not until the last month of the season. And two, I know Fratesi is almost definitely leaving this summer, but for now, do you think he should be Mickey's substitute? He is the substitute. He's the first midfielder off the bench. Mm-hmm. You know, and to pair this with another question from at Banana Pudini, do we owe Fratesi an apology, or was this just another flash in the pan? I don't think it's ever been a flash in the pan. What we see is what we get with Fratesi, which is low involvement as far as the build-up play in this team. Maybe not a great fit in this system because of that lack of build-up involvement, but elite box crasher, elite finisher, you know, in the box. And what we see is what we get. So that's what we've spoken about. So I think it's less of an apology. Like, both of us here want to see him do well for as long as he's here. But I think we also both acknowledge that, like, if there is a better option, that's what Inter should be pursuing. If there's a way for the team to get better, like, that's what, and he's elite at what he does. There's no taking that away from him.
No, not at all.
All right. Peter Jordan, what a result. Job half done, but plenty left to do. Lautaro left everything on the pitch. Captain's performance. Disappointing to concede, but what a response. That's some serious character from Inter. And if you watch the full highlight, Fratesi runs from ridiculously deep. Lautaro is the epitome, as far as captaincy is concerned, the epitome of everything that Icardi could not give us. Mm. As far as, like, the leadership, as far as the fighting for every ball on the pitch, you know, as far as the conversations that he says that he had with the team after the Parma game, he's an actual leader. For as much as, you know, people want to shit on him, and I saw some Interisti saying sell him after that first half, or before he scored the goal, like, he is what a captain is, which is someone who picks the team up when we need him to pick the team up, and someone who leads by example, chasing down every ball that there possibly could be.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, no, I thought you were just going to end it there. Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more with that. Listen, Lautaro is not to be dramatic or anything, but probably the best captain we've had since, obviously, Zanetti. You know, no disrespect to Handanovic, but Handanovic was a quiet leader. Lautaro leads by not just by his voice in the locker room, but he also does it by his example. Like, I mean, look at the performance he put in today. Like Peter Jordan said, I mean, just all over the place, doing everything he can to help win, coming in with tackles. Like, I mean, I don't know a striker that I've seen perform three or four slide tackles to try to win back possession the way Lautaro has, at least not this year. So I'm thrilled that he is, you know, not only wearing the armband, but doing it proud and doing us proud.
100% agree. At Andrew_DBN, we need our bench back for the second leg. All right, so let me give you the options of the folks that could be coming back are Dumfries, a healthy DiMarco.
For the second leg we're talking about.
For the second leg. Zielinski's not going to make it.
Yep.
And then Aslani is coming back from suspension. So let's just talk the wingbacks, because obviously that's what we're going to talk about here. as far as the bench is concerned, give me your, who would you rather have? Augusto and Dumfries or DeMarco Darmian?
Starting or on the bench? I'm like
available.
So available.
Let's say only one of Dumfries or DeMarco is available. Let's say it that way.
I mean, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but you know, I think I would actually take Dumfries for this match. I think that he obviously defensively would be able to put in a shift, be able to also lead by his example. The guy was a captain. It's not that he has never been a leader. His mentality is elite. I will say that. Like he obviously doesn't have the technical ability, has a terrible touch, isn't at all the type of player that I thought that would be successful at this club. But in terms of leadership ability, I mean, he's right up there with the guys like Lautaro, like Barella, like Bastoni, who could wear the armband and I think that he would be very important to us to secure this tie.
All right, at a person 1352, Lautaro's best goal for Inter.
Ooh, I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment and say yes.
Yeah, I don't think it was his best.
It's up there. It's up there for sure.
Yeah, I don't think it was the best one though. Like he's had some bangers from outside the box that have been. Nice.
Yeah, he's had some legit, like, insane.
This one was
screamers,
for sure. Okay, let's go to Signore Gino Panino.
I'd say Inter is back. Amazing first half, led by our capitano, and an amazing goal, clean goal, and Draghi ball at its finest. Felt like we tried to park the bus in the second half. Didn't go as planned. Like Eddie leading the way again. And like last year, at the end, you see what that goal meant for him, his nonna, and the team. I'd say Inter. Forza Ragazzi, Gino Panino from Vancouver. We play on. Amen.
Love it, brother. Got it. You need to send in a voice note for every single one of these. 100%. The other underrated aspect of this is that maybe that Fratesi goal, like the emotion of it, gives this team a little bit more of a togetherness in an emotional moment, you know?
Yeah. No, I think for sure. Like, dude, I mean, watching that game, honestly, you know, the way I was definitely distracted at work. I had my attention on the TV pretty much the entire time. And the reaction I had when that ball went in, mostly because of the buildup play that led to it. You know, like that is such a team. And that's trademarking Zaghi ball, right? Like that's exactly what you want to see building off in the
back. Both goals.
Both goals, really. And the second one probably more rapidly. But the way that they went about it was just so incredible. And listen, I mean, when Inzaghi ball is clicking, it's insane. And I loved the way that we were able to come about it. And look at the way they celebrated the second goal too. I mean, there's a great picture of Lautaro and Barella's reactions. I would try to find it, but yeah, I mean, I just love it, love it, love it, love it.
All right, Sarthak put this voice message in during halftime, so let's see what came out.
Hi, Interviews team. This is Sarthak here in Interfan. And I was wondering, what do you think of Carlos Augusto, especially his performance today in the first half and also for the rest of the season? I felt that his offensive capability is like excellent as a wingback, but today it seemed that he was sluggish to return back and help defend. But anyways, thank you guys. What is that, Inter?
Yeah. You know, we've both been saying this, like, he's a player that I think can be at Inter for a long time because of his versatility, because of the fact that he can offer something different offensively than Di Marco, a little bit more of a, you know, a forceful runner. And also, you know, just very good defensively. As far as like the sluggish getting back, I didn't see much of that. If anything, I saw a really hard work rate. He also got himself out of trouble a few times in the first half too. So I'm a big Carlos Augusto fan. It's like once Darmian is out of this team, I know he can't quite play on the right hand side and be the Swiss Army knife from that capacity, but you do feel that he can lock down periods of time that Bastoni or Di Marco are out, you know, in either one of those positions. So I want this player on our team for a long time.
Yeah, same. I mean, I think that he's a guy that I hope that we can, you know, keep around and have be an important piece that could fill in, you know, easily, whether it be as a left wing back, whether it be as a left center back. The guy is, I didn't see sluggishness on tracking back to defend myself. Maybe I have to go back, you know, and take a look again. But I don't think so. And yeah, I want to keep him around for many years to come.
Someone tweeted like typical Italian teams sitting back, whatever. And I just have to say, did you watch those two goals? They were more beautiful football than maybe you've been seeing out of Bayern all year. So Statichet, as the Barres would say, Statichet. Okay? Stai zitto. Okay? All right. Anything else on this game that you want to touch on here?
On this one, no.
Okay. What about on the next one?
On the next one, I mean,
it's Cagliari at home.
Cagliari.
12 p.m. Cagliari on Saturday.
Has been, I mean, playing well themselves, right? They have no injuries that I know of.
Yeah.
You know, no, nothing lagging there. They have a few former Inter players at their disposal, specifically Zappa, who, you know,
Zappa,
who's had a pretty good season. Not I wouldn't say as good as he did 2 years ago under Ranieri, but I do think that he's had, you know, some pretty good play himself. Are they still, actually, where are they in the table? I know that they were battling.
They're safe.
They're safe? All right.
Yeah.
So then, I mean, they pretty much have nothing really to play for themselves, you know.
Yeah. I mean, this is a, you know, a team with your Pavolettis and your Jakub Jankos and your Augellos, Jankos. Right? It's
Yeah, I forgot so. Algelo's still there. You know, Caprile has been a fantastic goalkeeper. You know, You can make a case for him being like one of the little breakthrough players, if you will.
Yerry Mina.
That slow loser who is so reckless.
With such his a dickhead.
Man. Yeah, I'm not a fan of his.
Jose Luis Palomino.
You know, Roberto Piccoli's been pretty good for them as a forward. You know, I think he leads them in goals. Which, I mean, isn't saying much because it's Cagliari and they don't really have a lot of talent. But let me see. How many goals? I think he's got seven goals. All right. So I was close with that.
Yep.
But, you know, I think they're going to be playing, you know, very defensive themselves. They're going to just be trying to hang on to a draw at the best, you know. Being 15th,
I was at the game last year where they took a point off of us at home. So I don't have great feelings about them. But
I guess we're good with you not being there again.
Should I not watch?
Yeah, skip this one. I'll just do it solo. The pod, you know,
that's all right. I mean, I'm gonna listen.
No, you can't.
Zito Luvumbo, very good. Very tricky. I don't know. I should have said very good.
Yeah, he's a tricky guy. I don't know if I'd say he's very good, but
Matteo Prati.
Davide Nicola's, you know, he's a bit of a tough one to deal with, right?
Mattia Felici, pretty good.
Is he
Adam Aubert? Yeah, Felici's been decent. So listen, they're your typical low mid-table, not even mid-table. They're your typical low-table Italian team. Inter has a, you know, you can never rule out a banana peel, but they also, like, we should definitely beat this team. I think the only thing that would give me hesitation would be what kind of rotation that they're going to do, given that Bayern Munich is coming up again midweek at home. So yeah, let's see how that one plays out.
Let's take a look at how it plays out.
Yeah. All right. Hit the hour mark here. I think I'm good.
Yeah, I would say I too am good. Oh, get on Twitter tomorrow. Do not forget this. I'm going to release this episode tonight, April 9th, tomorrow. Antonio Nocerino's 40th birthday. Go on the Lights Twitter account. Wish him a happy birthday. And if you don't tell them I sent you, you're dead to me. There we go.
We're trying to help Johnny get a promotion here, I guess.
Trying to help me get a promotion. Trying to make money moves to be able to do something alongside Antonio Nocerino. So,
all right. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.